From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris. Thursday is the day we read from your email, and we'll start with a response to my piece on the 40th anniversary of the Loving decision. That was the Supreme Court case that struck down laws banning interracial marriage. The Lovings were a mixed-race couple from Caroline County, Virginia. They had been charged and convicted under the state's anti-miscegenation law. 40 years after they won their appeal, I went back to Caroline County to hear how one interracial couple there is doing now.
I think my life would be a whole lot easier if I was with a white man and some. And Brian feels the same way.
That's Anna Blazer. She lives in Caroline County with her husband, Brian. Gwen Davis Feldman of Cameron Mills, New York, heard the story, and she writes this. Thanks for keeping the national conversation about race alive. I was 15 years old, living in Los Angeles, when the Loving decision was handed down. Today, I am happily married to a white man. We always told our son that he had the best of both worlds, and it was up to him to do something of worth for himself and society. I once thought that by the time I reached 50, the race issue would be resolved. How naive. Adrian Jones Johnson of Durham, North Carolina, was unhappy with my story and writes, "Your coverage of only one person's experience is narrow at best and not representative of interracial unions today. Like same-race couples, an interracial couple's experience depends on many things, the couple's education or socioeconomic status." This week, my colleague Robert Siegel told us the story of Larry Peterson. Back in 1989, Peterson was convicted of the brutal rape and murder of a young woman named Jacqueline Harrison. After spending nearly 18 years in jail, his conviction was thrown out. Tests on physical evidence in the case showed that DNA was not his. Peterson was set free, and he's now seeking compensation from the state.
When you took my prime away from me, from 36 all the way almost to 56, please, could I ask for too much? I don't think so.
Alexi Holford of Long Beach, California, called Robert's stories moving, touching, and sad. He writes, "Thank you for the story on Larry Peterson's life, a life stolen. I have doubts about our nation's justice system, and this is one of those stories that illustrates the cracks in the system." Brad Zabnewski of Ottawa, Kansas, was struck by some of the comments made by the sister of the woman who was raped and killed. "I have the deepest empathy for Ms. Harrison's sister, Patricia," Zabnewski writes. "She lost a loved one in a violent and senseless act of utter cruelty. But my feeling of compassion for her stopped when I heard her response to the overwhelming evidence that Larry Peterson was not the man who killed her sister. It's unconscionable to me that she would execute him if it were up to her. In my mind, this represents the type of disguised justice that takes an innocent life and feels no remorse for it." Finally, a comment on our trip to the annual bike blow at Reynolds Motorsports in Buxton, Maine. "Every year, they tape open the throttle of a beat-up motorcycle and take bets on how long it takes the beast to die." Here's what it sounded like. "Wow, that story totally harshed my mellow," writes Jack Denning of Baltimore. "The engine sounded pretty good during the burnout, and now she'll never take off into another adventure. I'll try to channel some of my disappointment into motivation to work on my neglected 1970 Honda CB750. Cheers, and cheers to you for writing. And keep the comments coming. Go to npr.org and click on Contact Us at the top of the page.